Welcome to the podcast of Troy Brewer, a guitar playing, globe trotting, book writing, Bible thumping, star watching, radio TV hosting, church leading, Alamo saluting Texan, and drop dead sold out Jesus freak.
Well, hello, my friends. Blessing and peace on you. God bless you so much. Guys, this is Troy Brewer, and I'm coming at you strong here from ODX.TV, and I want to welcome you to our brand new platform and a whole bunch of our exclusive content. And I also know that there are people that are listening on the radio all over the world that are listening to the Experiencing Real Life radio broadcast, and I call you guys blessed in the mighty name of King Jesus. Guys, you guys are going to enjoy this because today I'm not just here with me. I'm actually with a very good friend of mine who's been my friend for years and years and years. For more than 25 years, he and I have traveled throughout the world together. And I want to tell you, guys, get ready, because, guys, we're going to be sharing miracle testimonies today. And I'm with my very good friend, Apostle Gene Izaguirre. How are you, my friend?
Amen. Praise God, brother. Bless you all.
Well, I bless you, man. Thank you so much, man, for joining me. You actually came in so that you could be a part of our anniversary service.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for that.
I had to be here.
Man, you did not have to be here, and you were here, and I'm so grateful for that. Thank you.
I had to be here because I wanted to see your face.
Well, I have missed you as well. I've missed you in a great big way. Pastor Gene, I want to just tell you before we get off into all these miracle stories, there have been four times in my life I've seen somebody healed of blindness. And all four times I was with you.
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about healed of blindness.
Yep.
And one lady, which we'll end up telling this story, she'd been completely blind since she was a teenager. And she was a lady like in her late 50s, early 60s, part of the same church, her whole family. She'd never seen her kids. She had never seen her grandkids. Mm-hmm. And God healed her. And she started screaming, bring me my kids, bring me my grandkids. Oh, my God.
Right on the congregation.
That's exactly right. In front of the whole congregation, the only church that she'd gone to for decades. And then you and I and Pastor Jim Maxwell my bride, Pastor Leanna, we were in India and we saw God heal a little boy.
Yes.
And we also saw God heal another man of blindness. And he
For 30 years.
So that brother had been blind for 30 years.
Yes.
And he gave you something. What did he give you?
A big pen.
Yeah.
29 cents big pants. That's all I can give you.
It was like the greatest gift he could give you was a 29 cent pen.
I still have it.
That's so cool, man. And he actually, that morning, whenever he got up, he opened up the windows to let in some fresh air, and he saw the sunrise for the very first time.
First time in 30 years.
It's incredible. Now, we have seen some crazy miracles, you and I together. And we've also seen God save our lives. Literally, from like real death. I mean, like we were going to get killed if God didn't save us.
From the cartel.
From the cartel. What time, right, when we were going down to Puebla, oh my gosh.
You were sleeping in the back of the van.
I was exactly right. I was at the very back. All of the chairs were all filled up with people. And it was like a Ford Bronco. Right? It was like a Bronco.
Yeah.
And I was like in the very back, like O.J. Simpson, right? So I'm like in the very back. And we got pulled over by the cartel.
Yep.
Machine guns, whole nine yards.
Yes. And I started yelling at you, stay down.
That's right. That's exactly right.
They see you.
And like, don't let them see me. And then after the anointing came upon you and you talked to them, they're like, okay, you know, we're going to get you through this territory. Then we got pulled over by the police right after that. And the police pulled us over, the federales pulled us over.
In Veracruz?
In Veracruz,
yes.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
And then the cartel drove up and told them to leave us alone.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. And I mean, we could have been, by either one of them, we could have been toast.
Or kidnapped forever.
Yep, exactly.
Because we ain't got no millions.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, yeah. I had that happen to me and Leanna and Daryl and Mindy Knight. And we were coming back from Chihuahua. We were coming across the Chihuahua Desert. And we got pulled over by the cartel in the middle of the night.
Ooh.
And I mean, they made us all get out of the car and they had machine guns on us and the whole nine yards. And God did a miracle. You know, he did a miracle. They just started laughing for no reason. We had Renee Cooper was with us. And I don't know if you remember Renee or not. She's a crazy girl. But she's an Eskimo, okay? She's actually from Alaska. And whenever she's in Mexico, everybody thinks that she's a Mexican.
Yes.
And the cartel said, why aren't you speaking Spanish? And she said, because I don't speak Spanish. And they're like, why don't you speak Spanish? And she said, I ain't no Mexican. I'm a dadgum Eskimo. And they went, what? And they translated it into Spanish and they started laughing. A spirit of laughter hit these guys who are going to kill us. You know, we got beautiful wives and we're out there in the middle of nowhere in the Chihuahua Desert. And it's like, you know, midnight and they were going to kill us and do.
That's what God used to leave you alone.
And they just started laughing. They started going, ah, ha, ha, ha. And they laughed and laughed and they couldn't stop laughing. And they just said, y'all go.
that's to laugh.
No, it was like, okay, thank you, King Jesus, because we were like, whoa. And we were just driving in the dark. After that, we didn't even put our headlights on. We went across the Chihuahuan Desert and we just left our headlights off and we just kept on going.
Yes, very dangerous right now.
It is very dangerous.
Well, every state.
Yeah, exactly. What part of Mexico is not dangerous right now?
Yes.
And then on top of that, another time, you and I were in a prison and we were in the Amazon jungle. And I'm not going to tell the part where you crashed Leticia. Your motorcycle. Leticia. Yeah, we were in.
No, don't say
I'm
that.
I'm not going to tell that part. But we were in Leticia, Colombia, and we were on the. By the way, you ever watch that dude River Monsters?
Yes.
Okay. So that dude, every time that he's on the Amazon, he's like, I'm in Leticia, Colombia.
Yeah.
And he's always there. And I'm like, oh, I know that guy in the background. Or I'm like, oh my gosh, look at that. Or, oh, I know exactly where he's standing.
He goes there.
He does. That's where he goes. And we were just there just a couple of months ago. And do you know, they actually eat big old worms there. They eat these big old giant grub worms. Man, dude, we were in the airport and Giles is here with us. He's here on the front row. And Giles will verify this. In a dadgum airport, they're like, hey, man, you need to eat this. This is like the delicacy of the Amazon. Yeah. I'm like, I ain't eating them worms.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it. And they're big old fat grub worms.
They put them right there. They see him squirming.
Yeah, that's and exactly. No, I'm good. Thank you. And maybe if you could chicken fry it and maybe cook it with bacon, I might. But I'd have to be starving to death. With that said, we were down there, man, and we were in a prison. And that prison, man, that prison was no joke.
No.
It's a Colombian Amazon prison. And they had women and children in the general population.
Together, yes.
Like 600 guys and like 20 women and then a few kids. Whoa, I'm telling you right now, it is a rough, rough, rough place. And we went in there, and do you remember the warden? The warden showed up and she had a Jezebel spirit.
It's a girl. It was a girl.
Yeah. And okay, so here's the deal. All these guys, and they were all acting cool, remember? And we had all these bags lined up and had soap and groceries and had some food and had like toilet paper and it had like some socks and just some nice things,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And the police officers, they were fine until the warden showed up. And she came driving up on a motorcycle. And she pulls off her helmet and lets her hair out. And she looks like Jessica Rabbit. She looks like a cartoon.
Yeah.
And she had such a bad spirit, such a bad sexual spirit. Mm-hmm. And this was the warden. Mm-hmm. This was the warden of the prison. She had on huge eyelashes and bright red lipstick. And she had this super tight outfit on. And everybody was scared of her. All the guys that worked for her, they were all afraid of her. And she took off her helmet and she threw her hair around and was like, there's no way this is the warden. And she comes in and she's like, hello. And she just had a bad, bad, bad sexual spirit about her. And we followed her into this place. She went into the place. She talked to the guards. The guards took you and me and Jamie Cashin through one gate, closed the gate, into another room, closed the door, into another room, closed the door. And then they took us into this room that's about half the size of this big room.
Yeah.
And it didn't have a ceiling.
No, it was open air.
It was an open air place, right? And there was like 170 guys in there. And yes. I know that because we had 170 bags and every single person, we had exact number of bags, exact number. And you and I and Jamie, we walked in the room and we walked in this open air place right in the center of the prison. We walk in And the guy, the guard, slammed the door behind us and locked us in.
I was going to tell you that. It looked like they slammed the door and they said, sick him.
That's exactly right. It's true.
Yeah.
They closed the door behind us and the guard stayed on the other side. And they're like, y'all can have them.
Yeah.
And here's what we didn't know. There had been three missionaries like 6 months before that.
She said that when we went out.
On the way out, she told us, she didn't tell us this going in.
No.
She told us this, she goes, it's amazing you guys survived it because 6 months ago, the last time we had Christians in here, they went in that room and all those guys killed them.
They killed them.
And we had no idea of this. And so we go in there and boom, when they slammed the gate behind me, it was like a big crash and it got everybody's attention in that room. And they started looking over and the guards started laughing. And they're looking at us through the bars, and we instantly knew they just set us up to kill us.
Yes, yes. Something's going to happen.
Oh my God. Honestly, there have been a few times in my life where I've been like, where a sickening fear where it's like, okay, this is not good.
Yeah, yeah.
And I looked at these guys, and they started moving weird and started acting weird, and everybody's like, okay. And guys that were sitting on the ground, they begin to stand up. And I was like, there is nobody in the world that can help us in this situation. And I was with Jamie Cashin. Jamie Cashin is a 10th degree black belt. And he told me, we got to get in the corner. We got to get in the corner. I mean, it happened that fast. And Jamie was like, we got to get in the corner. We got to get in the corner. Because, I mean, like instantly we knew we're about to have to fight for our lives. It's all about survival.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, the anointing and the power of God came on you. And I want to tell you, bro, I think if I'd have been in that situation with any other person in the whole world, I think I would have died that day. And I think I would have died a terrible death.
Yes.
Okay, it would not have been good. Now that I've said that, I'm going to say this to you. I saw the power of God come upon you. And I saw what you did. You want to tell everybody what you did or you want me to tell it? Tell it.
I said, sit down. Everybody sat down. So I started telling them a little bit of my testimony.
Wait, stop. Before you told your testimony, you said, sit down. And you said, I'm not playing. I've got the power of God on me. And yes. You need to sit down and shut up because people are going to get saved. And I'm not playing with any of you guys. And they all just sit down.
Yes.
And like a peace came on everybody and everybody wanted to listen and everybody wanted to learn. And like it was like this chaos and this horror. And all of a sudden, man, the power of God came upon you and it changed the entire room. And I was standing behind you going, yeah. I, honest to God, I had no idea what I was going to do. And the power of God came upon you. Yeah. And you said like, peace, be still. And they sat down. Yeah. And you told them, I've got the anointing of the Lord on me. You're not going to mess with me. You're not going to kill me. And you were saying things like, don't be stupid and don't be acting stupid in here. The power of God is here and I ain't playing with you.
I was
like, oh my God. And then you started giving your testimony. Then you started preaching Jesus. Tell everybody what happened after that.
Well, I told them about a little bit of my testimony, how I used to sleep on the trash dumps of Matamoros where I was born. And the Lord got me out of there. And after the Vietnam War and all that, going being nuts, I was going to kill my wife with a 45, my son Isaac, and myself. The next following week, the Lord saved me. And now he got me all over the world. So I told him all that, you know, and especially I told him that God uses me especially to talk in penitentiaries, in jails, because I don't fool around with them. I tell them what it is and whatever, you know. So anyway, so I told him a lot of stuff, you know, that a lot of possession people that got free, got liberated, you know, that I prayed for a lot of miracles, you know my story, you know, and that my mission is revival all over the world according to what the Lord told me, and that wherever I go, gold dust appears and oil appears in the hands, and you know, chains are broken, you know, I'm talking about the demonic chains and things like that, and it started happening right there with them.
It started happening in a radical way. And guys that, we're talking about guys that just a few minutes earlier were going to kill us.
Yes.
And I mean, they were going to kill us.
Well, they came after Jamie.
That's exactly
with a knife.
And actually brought a knife and put it in Jamie's stomach. And he said, I was going to kill you with this.
Yes.
And here, I want to give it to you.
Yes.
You remember that?
And Jamie's
man, we started laughing, you know? And we hugged. We ended up at the end of that, we ended up hugging every single guy. They all stood in a line and we gave every single one of them a hug and we prayed over them.
Yes, sir.
And the fear of God came into that place. As those guys were sitting around, guys just started crying.
Crying.
The Spirit of the Lord started moving in an incredible way. I gave my testimony. Jamie gave his testimony. You gave your testimony. And we started praying. We just started releasing the presence of the Lord upon everybody inside that prison. And I'm talking about these guys were horrible Colombian killers that were in a horrible prison. And we saw God Almighty break their hearts. And I don't know how many of those guys got saved, but I mean, everybody.
A lot of them.
Everybody wanted a touch from the Lord. I bet you more than half of the people in that room actually gave their hearts to King Jesus.
In all kinds of miracles, too. Let me tell you this. I can bring it with me if I can come back first, you know. But I got 6 pictures. When we go back to Leticia, Colombia, mm-hmm. again.
Yep, the next year.
You know, I go on the, where the boats are, as I say.
Yeah.
You know, where the boats are.
Yes.
I go walking, you know, passing out tracks and talking to everybody or whatever, you know, and they come up to me, you know, and they would do, her, her, her.
Oh my gosh.
Remember?
Because you preached that in the funeral.
Because I told them that my nickname was a dog.
That's right.
So they call me the dog, so you don't mess with me because I'll jump all over you too. You know, just kidding, y'all.
Right.
But they got it for real. So anyway, me, you, prophesied to 6 of them. And I got the pictures and I'm going to send them to you. The pictures of them. When we go back and they're, rawr, rawr, so I turn around and say, what's that? And I keep on walking. Rawr, rawr, rawr. And I turn around and then, hey, Perro.
Wow.
Say, oh yeah, what's up, man? They come in and say, remember that Pastor Troy gave me a prophecy that I was supposed to be here like 40 years in jail. And he told me in 3 months I was going to be out.
That's right.
Here I am.
I got out.
Here I am. Praise God.
That was a bold,
six of them.
Word.
6 of them.
That's amazing.
It's God.
You know, on that same trip, I wasn't with you on that trip, but Daryl and my team said that you walked off and then you came back a few hours later.
All bloody.
And you had blood all over your shirt because you walked up on 2 guys that were stabbing each other to death. And oh my gosh, and God did a miracle, and one of those guys even got saved.
Yeah, we stopped them, and one was with a knife. He was you know, crying and hugging me. When he hugged me, he put blood all over me.
Yeah, everybody, he was like, no, you were like, no, I'm fine. It's just part of the Gina Zagara experience. You know, it's just part of it. And everybody was just shaking their heads.
So I went back to the festival.
Yeah.
The Open Door Festival, you know? So I just felt like Scarface, you know?
Yeah. I would tell you this also, too. The very first time, the very first time that I ever met you, I was preaching at your church, and you told me before I preached at your church, and I mean, I was young. You were young. I mean, you know, it had to be a long time ago if you were young, man. And we went in there and you told me, you said, look, the cartel said that they're going to come in here and kill me tonight.
Yes.
And so if these bad guys come in and shoot you, it ain't nothing personal.
Yeah. See,
because you had a guest speaker and I was your guest speaker that night.
And then you start preaching. There was a big fight in the entrance.
Yeah, then they came in. And all your deacons started fighting these guys. And I was like, I love this church. Honestly, man, I was out there preaching and you were translating. And you said, and I was like, oh my gosh, I just saw this big barroom brawl break out at the back of the church. And you just said, keep preaching. And so I did. I just kept on preaching. And these guys, and I remember your head deacon got his tooth knocked out that night.
Three of them.
Yeah.
Deacon Lyon.
Yes, he was such a good man.
Beautiful man. Beautiful.
I miss him so much. He's been with the Lord for a long time.
Beautiful Deacon Agbath.
But he ended up getting 3 of his teeth knocked out. And that was my first time to ever preach at Misión Divina.
1 week before that, why I told you that is that we were painting the church, you know, and all that.
Yeah.
So, you know, truck came by and window down, say, "Hey, who's Pastor Genovevo?" It means Pastor Gene. "Who's Pastor Genovevo?" I turn around and say, "Me?" He said, "Come here." So I went over there and said, "Yes, sir." He said, "So you're Pastor Genovevo?" "Yes, sir." He said, "You better quit fooling around with my people, man. We're from the cartel. You keep on fooling around, we're going to come and wipe you out. We're going to kill you." I tell you. So I said, "You know me." So I said, what was that?" And Pepe was with me.
Yeah,
and Pepe, came out of the cartel.
Yeah, he came out of the cartel.
And,
yeah.
And Pepe said, "No, wait. Let me talk to them." So Pepe said, no, don't worry about it, blah. You know. And then and that was it. And the guy said, "Okay, remember what I told you?" So I looked down the window and I told him, "Listen to me, man. You want to kill me? Come Sunday, because I want to be killed when I'm preaching in the pulpit." And that's when you came in.
Yeah. That's when you had a guest speaker.
Yeah, friends like you.
Friends like you, right? Who needs enemies? And so you told me that, you know, they might come in. And they did come
in. They did come in.
And your deacons jumped on them and they got in a big fight. And then another time, man, but I didn't get killed. It was awesome. And then another time, man, a guy came into your church with a 45.
Yes.
And he was going to kill you. And then when you stuck out your hand and you started praying and go, "No," he was going to kill himself.
No.
So tell me. I want to hear that story.
Okay. They came into my office, right?
Yep.
Whatever you call the office, my office. But, you know, and they say, "Pastor Gene, in the parking lot, there's a man that wants to commit suicide." I say, okay, be there. I started reading the Bible. You know, 15 minutes later, "Pastor Gene, a guy's going to commit suicide. He got a 45 in his head."
Oh my gosh.
"Yeah, be there. Don't worry about it. You know, like nothing." And then again, Pastor Gene, the guy's going to kill himself. "Okay, I'll be there. Go, let's go." Rudy was with me. Crazy Rudy.
Yeah, I know who Rudy is.
So we went over there. Okay, so I say, "Oops." And it was a little bit dark. I say, "Uh-oh." Say, "Well, okay." I told Rudy, listen. And the guy was with his back on the pickup and with the gun right here. And I told Rudy, "Listen, you go this way and I go that way, you know, around the pickup. And when I say go, we run to him."
Yeah.
"And when I get the gun and take it off and blah, blah, blah," right?
Yeah.
So we did that. And so we did, you know, we like, "Go!" He went around, and I went around. And when I got to him, he put the gun down here.
Yeah, he put it.
He said, "Pop, pop, 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 pop," 7 times. He said, "Oh." So I embraced him. I said, yep. I embraced him. He said, "No, what's wrong with you? La, la, la." You know me, right? "La, la, 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 la. Oh, you idiot. La, 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 la." So I got away from him, and all the shirt was all burned, and the bullets were on the floor.
They were on the ground.
Yes, sir.
The bullets did not enter his body.
No.
And they were laying on the ground,
yes,
between his belly and the ground.
Yes, sir.
And I remember that miracle like it was yesterday. I remember that because I was there like the week after that happened.
Yes.
And I remember you had that gun.
Yeah.
And I remember you up there preaching with that gun.
Yeah,
it was a big old giant 45 and had white pearly handles on it.
Yes, right.
And he'd be up there preaching with that gun and said, "God knows how to stop a bullet. He knows how to stop 7 bullets.
Yes.
You actually saw that miracle. And
yes, sir.
I was jealous that I wasn't there. I was like, "Oh my gosh, I wish I had been there." We've seen some incredible miracles. We sit here all day long and just tell miracle stories. You actually have over 700 miracles documented. You were showing me them on your phone.
That I thought of.
Yeah, that you've thought of, and you just wanted to document all these miracles. I can tell you miracles that we've had where we've been with you. It first started with you. The miracle of multiplication of, we would take 3,000 backpacks,
yes,
stuffed full of toys, do a giant posada, a giant children's church outreach for your entire village.
Yes.
And at the end of the night, after giving bags of toys to more than 5,000 kids, and we only took 3,000, our truck was still full.
Yeah, I remember that.
And
it happened twice already.
It did happen twice. And what was amazing is my good friend Paula Ledbetter had just died. And she was my secretary, and she was Leanna's best friend in the whole world. And she had just died. And her sister, Penny, got saved at Paula's funeral. And I'm the one that preached Paula's funeral.
Praise God.
And Penny went with us on that trip. And Penny was the one in the back of the truck that was giving away the toys. And she saw that miracle. Now, Paula died in October. And so this is early December. So it hadn't even been 2 months that Penny had been saved. And she was in the back of that truck handing those things out. And I got to thinking, you know, Gene, I was playing in the band then, and we were doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And so I got to see the line, and the line was thousands and thousands of kids. I mean, it was as far as you could see.
Yes.
I mean, it went block after block after block after block after block until you could not see. That's how many thousands of people were in line to get all these free toys. And I got thinking, they're probably about to be, you know, the truck's about to be finished, and that might be hard for her because she's a brand new Christian, and I need to go over there and tell her, you know, it's okay. We just give away what it is we have. And I went back there, and Andy Daly was in the back of the truck with her.
Andy.
And you know Brother Andy, and he's so faithful and just such a good guy.
Yes.
And I said, well, how are we doing? And this is what she said. She said, don't talk, Pastor Troy. Just keep doing what you're doing. And it wasn't like a, wow, look at this. It was like the holy presence of the Lord. And they were actually afraid. I mean, they didn't want to mess it up. They were just continued to hand out toys. And they continued to go, okay, that's a seven-year-old. That's a blue color bag.
Yeah.
Here's one. And then they go back and they look, and there would be a blue color bag exactly where the one that they had just taken from.
Yeah.
And they just, and they had been seeing it over and over and over and over again for several hours. And they were just like, and I saw that the truck was completely full. And I said, have you guys not been giving away? And they went, yes, we've given it all away. And Penny said, we can't give it all away. Like, we're trying and we can't.
God, yes, sir.
It was like such an incredible miracle. And then that night when we were done, we gave toys to every single kid in that line. And then we backed the truck up to your church and filled up your whole church with toys.
Yes.
And then you sent them all to Mexico and all that. And I think in my estimation, even though we only had 3,000 backpacks, in my estimation, we gave backpacks to over 7,000.
Multiply.
And I mean, it wasn't just me, and it didn't just, it was everybody on the team saw that miracle. Everybody saw it. And we saw it not for just a second, but we saw it go on for hours.
Yes.
Oh, you know what?
That's a multiplication anointing. You know, do you know how it is, you know? And talking about that, 1986, you know, the church was doing a fundraiser, the way little bitty churches do, you know, do fried chicken, they have Coke, and yep, give me $3 and whatever to raise that fund for the payment of the church. So they sold about 400 or 500 plates. So I was doing my thing, you know. So I went and visited the house where they were doing the plates. They came in, and everybody was on the living room, you know, just, you know, freaking out, just looking at each other, and you know, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Now I came in and say, what's wrong? He said, what? Well, we still got 200 plates to give, and there's no rice, Pastor Gene. There's no rice? No? No? I said, so what do we do? Okay, I'm going to give you a secret. Pray. Pray. So you say, okay, so hold hands. So they hold hands with me, and we started praying, you know, Lord, you know, my way, right? Yelling all the time.
Yep.
Crazy Lord, man. Lord, la, 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 Lord, oh God, you know, blah, blah, Lord, you know, little church, you can get the payment, blah, 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 blah. I finished, I told Sister Elder Lupita Martinez, right. So,
I know
Lupita. Go check in the kitchen. So she said, what? Go check in the kitchen. I said, really? Go check in the kitchen. So she goes and she got to the kitchen, and suddenly we heard, ah! So everybody thought, uh-oh, she got burned in the stove, exactly, or something.
Yeah.
Everybody ran over there, and the two pans
yeah,
the two pans were overflowing with rice, and it was overflowing to the floor, bro.
Yep. Yep.
That's overflowing anointing.
Amen.
What happens with the groceries and the things that, yep, open door sense. You know, you never know what's going to happen.
No, you don't. You don't, man. Well, friends, I'm talking with my very good friend, apostle and pastor from Matamoros, Mexico, from Brownsville, Texas. He has an amazing church called Misión Divina, and he's actually been partnering with me for years and years and years. We got over 25 years of ministry together, the two of us do, in India, in Nepal, which, guys, I want to tell you, we need to do a whole thing just on what all happened in Nepal. And remember, man, we went to that Hindu temple, I actually have it on my phone. There was this circle that was following you around. Do you remember the circle, the little light circle? And I was like, what is that? And you're like, it's an angel. Just shut up and leave me alone. I'm like, look, I've got it on film. It's crazy. And then we went to this Hindu temple, and everybody was walking in a big circle.
Yeah, praying.
Praying to this idol that was right in the middle.
Yeah.
And you and I got in it, and we walked in the opposite direction, and we were laying hands on everybody going through there.
It was dangerous,
but it was amazing, man. It was so much fun. And you and I have been to India together, and I remember us laughing our heads off, riding around in the little rickshaw and laughing our heads off. And people were so close, and cars, you could literally reach into the car next to you. We'd lay our hand in there, and we'd pray for people, and crazy stuff. And of course,
besides the danger, so much fun.
Yes.
Holy fun.
Yes.
You know, that happened.
You know, you actually had a spirit attack you and my daughter Rema in India that time. You remember that? Like a tornado came.
A tornado?
A real tornado. A legitimate tornado formed.
There was goats flying.
there was animals flying. There was trash flying. Like all of a sudden, this tornado appeared out of nowhere.
Yes, sir.
And you had to rebuke that storm.
Yes.
And rebuke it in Jesus' name. My daughter was like, Daddy, I thought we were going to die. This tornado formed out of nowhere.
I remember the next following day, we were in the hotel.
It was in the newspapers.
You open up the newspaper, so many people killed.
It killed a bunch of people.
Exactly.
And you guys were right in the middle of that tornado.
Right in the middle.
It just showed up out of nowhere.
Out of the coast, about 10 miles of the coast.
Exactly right.
Which is satanic.
It wasn't supposed to be able to happen. They didn't have tornadoes there. And it happened whenever you were there, which is really funny. And then, of course, you've been to Israel.
Yes.
And that whole thing of Israel, how amazing that is. And then, of course, you and I've been to Colombia and to the Amazon jungle. And we've been all over Mexico. I'm talking
all
about
over.
All over Mexico. I think, did you ever go to Costa Rica or Central America with us?
That's one of my dreams, Costa Rica.
Yeah, so we're going to have to do that. And of course, you've done a lot of work in the Philippines as well.
A lot.
You've done a lot of work in Canada. You've done a lot of work in those places. Yes. And signs and miracles and wonders happen everywhere you go.
All over the place.
Pastor Gene, will you please pray for everybody that's watching and everybody that's listening on the radio and for all the people on ODX and pray that we would receive that spirit of revival.
Yes. It's the only thing do something for our nation, bro. Revival. All the big shots, prophets, they say the same thing. And I've been talking about that for 43 years. Revival only. But anyway, if you listen to me, you're going to pray. But many places that we go, even with yourself and us, you know, and we sit in the airport, and always some men of God come to me and tell me, "What's your secret? What is your secret?" You know, like, "What is your secret?" And they wait like for a secret from Neptune or Jupiter, you know. And I tell them, "You ready for the secret?" Yes. Tell me the secret. I say, "Believe."
Yeah.
I say, "No. Wait. Give us your secret." I say, "Believe."
Yep.
So I'm going to pray. But believe.
Come on.
Now, once you say, "Well, I don't know, I hope so," forget it.
Forget it. That's right.
Believe.
Yep.
Believe.
Yep.
I was studying the shade of Peter,
that
killed people.
Yep.
They call me to a ranch over in Matamoros, pray, and I told the pastor, "Turn your lights off. Leave me one only. He did, and I just woke up and down with my hand up, and everybody started feeling with the Holy Spirit. One lady got out of the wheelchair, because you got to believe. When I was studying it, I said, Peter did that, I can."
That's right.
No, wait. It's the same God of Peter's mind. It's the same Elisha's God, it's mine.
Amen.
So I can do it what Elisha does. So you got to believe. So in the name of Jesus Christ, just put your hand like this, wherever you're watching us, Jesus. Or you're hearing in the radio, you know, just put your hand there. Have faith.
Come on.
Have faith. The Lord didn't have to go and to the centurion house to heal, you know, his family. He said, go. The word is done. Go. So believe. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, my Lord and you, Lord, if you believe that that family that's about to get divorced, a spirit of healing will come in right now in his and her heart. Tumor disappears right now. Diabetes, any sickness, right now, I order you to go out of them right now. I'm not asking you, I'm ordering you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I order you right now. Be healed right now. Right now, your heart, your brain, your eyes, your lungs, everything, be healed right now. And as soon as this happens, send a note to open door to give him thanks for the blessing of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Gene, you know what? I sure do love you, man. And I feel the presence of God right now. I mean, I feel Jesus. Listen, anybody can be healed of anything right now. The Spirit of the Lord is here. God Almighty, his presence is here. I have been with Gene. There have been other times that we should have been killed. And one time in particular, Leanna and I was in Matamoros, and the cartel literally murdered a guy three houses down from the house that we were in. And we heard all the machine guns go off. And because all the guns went off at one time, I thought it was an explosion. I thought like a transformer had blown up. And I know that sounds silly, but when five or six guns all go off at the same time, it doesn't sound like guns. It just sounds like something exploding. And they murdered the guy in the yard. And then they went and got in their car, and they saw that we were having church inside that house. And there was hundreds of people piling in and hanging in the window and looking and all that. And when they saw all those people turning around and look, they came over to the house and they pulled right up to the front door. And I saw the headlights, and I was preaching, and Leanna was sitting next to me. And we had our youth pastor was with us, and several other people were with us. And all of a sudden, this big crowd of people came from around the building and talked to him. And then they drove off and they left. And the people came in. I didn't know what was going on. And they started screaming, a miracle, a miracle, a miracle. And I was like, what? What happened? And they explained that they had just seen this man murdered in his yard. And then they came over. And as soon as they were about to get out of the car, they realized they had spent all their bullets. So they were reloading up.
Reloading.
Yeah, they were reloading all their guns, and they were sitting in the car fixing to reload and come in and murder us. And while they were doing that, a crowd of people showed up, and they came from everywhere. And they said to the people inside the car, they rolled down their window, and they're like, you're not getting out of that car. And the guy said, yeah, we are. He said, no, you're not going to get out of this car. And if you do get out of this car, you're not going to be fighting these people. You're going to be fighting the Most High God.
Yes, sir.
And they just went, well, let's go. And they left. And then when the person came in to tell me, I went outside to thank those people, and there was nobody there.
That's why, you know why? Because God uses crows, like in Elisha.
Amen.
Can I say something? Look, we were coming down Hidalgo Mountain.
Yeah?
We went down to a little bitty town that's probably as big as this cup, so far down. And we were driving, and a Catholic procession was coming in, mm-hmm. hundreds of them. So we just stopped there, and I stopped so them to tell them to you know to let us go by. So they came after me, and got me, and put a rope around my neck,
yep.
Put it on the tree. And they were about to put it down when there was a yell in the back. Say, wait, you know, in Spanish.
Yeah.
Alto, you know, stop. And so from the back, the priest came out and he said, in Spanish, he said, "Bájenlo! Este es un hombre de Dios. Get him down. That's a man of God." See, the Lord uses crows.
What the heck?
You know, I ain't lying. I'm too old to lie, brother.
Bro, I promise you, I went outside of that house.
Yeah.
I went out there, and those people were gone. There was nobody there.
Oh.
And God just saved our life. And we have no idea where those people went. You know, angels, crows.
I make sure.
Hey guys, listen, you know what? You can live this kind of a miracle lifestyle, but you're not going to be able to do it sitting on the couch playing it safe.
Yes, sir.
You're going to have to get up, and you're going to have to be the people that God Almighty has called you to be and go into the places that He's double dog daring you to go. If it doesn't sound like a safe place, it's not. Jesus never ever calls us into safe places. He calls us into places where He can be our safety and to where He, the power of the Holy Spirit, can even be called our comforter. Hey, if it's such a big deal that you need a comforter, but if you're in a very comfortable place, you're probably not in a place that God wants you to be. So I encourage you, get up, go do the thing that God has called you to do. Guys, this is exclusive content that we have here on ODX.TV. Be sure and tell somebody about it. And you know what? If you want to support this ministry, encourage you, go to the Giving tab. You can always go to troybrewer.com, or you can call 877-413-0888 if you need a friend, if you need prayer, or if you want to support this powerful ministry. Just call 877-413-0888. Pastor Gene Izaguirre, thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
You have been a good friend to me through the years, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Love you, and I'm so proud of you. And friends, until the next time I see you, I call you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. Bye-bye, everybody.